So our subject is, for a few minutes, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is a message today is about forgiveness. And we did Psalm 32 last week. And today we're going to do Isaiah 58. We were in Richmond, Virginia yesterday on a mission outreach. About 27 people from here were down there. Some people from Culpeper also came over. And we were just had a fantastic time. We went down Friday. We stayed overnight. We did evangelism in the park. We had wraps, we ate together, we just enjoyed it. It was such an encouraging time. We want to plant a church in Richmond, Virginia. And so we're doing 31 days of outreach in the city. And so if you want to be part of that, you can jump in and join. You're welcome. Very nice people, very polite, cordial, open, kind, a really good time. We enjoyed it a lot. Has anybody heard that phrase, people are hurting? Like you meet somebody on the street and you talk about things in general and they go, wow, there's a lot of people that are hurting. Is that correct? Anybody ever hear that? I think it's true. But that hurt is also coming from reaping what I sow. It comes from also bad decisions or not knowing how to live. And by the way, Bible college starts in September, but our Bible college isn't like college. It is, but it's spiritual. It's deep. It's edifying, and you learn how to live. And this is what happened in my life many years ago, and many of our lives. We learn how to live, learn how to think, how to live, how to make decisions. We learn doctrine, which teaches us. So I want you to just look at this verse about remembering. Well, I think we could turn to different texts. Turn to Luke 7. This is abbreviated, I think. Sorry about that, but Luke 7. There was the woman who was in Simon the Pharisee's house. And this is verse 44. You turned to the woman and said to Simon, "See this woman. I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, Simon the Pharisee. You didn't kiss me, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." So we have two people here, Simon the Pharisee. He's kind of cold. He's judgmental. We could say he puts forth the finger like this. If you look up here, he puts forth the finger. He's a judge. And that phrase, put forth the finger, we'll read that in Isaiah in a few minutes. Simon is not, he's a cold religious person. He doesn't have the spirit of grace. He doesn't have love in his heart. He's not forgiving. He's not gracious. And Jesus is telling him this. Verse 46, "My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment." "Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many," did she have many sins? Turn to your neighbor and just ask them the question. did this woman have many sins? Go ahead. Pastor Eugene, did she have many sins?
Yes.
Pastor Eugene said she did have. Okay. How many? Many sins. Let's say it together. Many, many. Dramatize it. Many, many, many sins. Ah, many sins. Out. Get her out. Get her out of here. Many, many sins. There's rape, murder, child abuse, thievery, corruption, pride, arrogance, gossip, slander. Many sins. What happened to this woman? Look at verse 47. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Forgiven. Now, I have a book here. Is that it? Yeah. I recommend this book. It's called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. I order these, and I have them in my office. And people, if I feel they need to read it, I'll give them the copy and say, you know, if you want to talk to me in 3 weeks after you read it, then you can talk to me. I think everybody here said I don't need to talk to you. This dealt with it. I had to deal with this. Total forgiveness. There is partial forgiveness. There is a forgiveness that we have in our nature, but there's not total forgiveness. That's what this is about. It's like amazing what it means. When this woman was forgiven, it was God forgave her. It was over. It was gone. It was not brought up. It was not remembered. She was forgiven, and she knew it. What happened then? What happened after that? After she was forgiven much, what happened? She loved much. Look at the verse 47. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, but for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Do you know what? I think sometimes there's little love with us because we don't forgive much. We're very good at holding forth a finger and judging. We're very good at that. This was wrong. Look at the countries in history that fight with each other because they cannot forgive. Yugoslavia, Spain, Russia. And now in the United States, the effort to divide our country by judging, also by hatred, by accusing, putting forth the finger, and in neighborhoods, and in families, and in friendships, and in marriages. It's a common thing. So that'll be our theme today. Let's go look at verse 47 one more time. This is not our text for today, but it introduces it. It says, I wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many. And by the way, your sins, which are many. You might say, oh, I'm not that great of a sinner. Well, you are. You are. You just don't know it. You don't know how bad you are. You don't know how wrong you can be. You will sell your mother for a dollar if you had to. You and I, we don't know the magnitude, what we're capable of, what we are capable in our hearts. It's just that time and circumstances hasn't brought out the worst, but it's there. It's in our nature. We have been forgiven much, but we have also been born again. And with the new birth, we have a new heart. We have a love for God, a love for righteousness, and we love much because we have been forgiven a lot. Okay. Okay, now we can do the offering and the song. And this song is beautiful. So let's pray for the offering. By the way, we're going to have a rain garden out front here, being construction starts like Monday. This is renovated. It's going to be dug up and roped off, and there's going to be a rain garden out there. So it'll take about a month or so. So we have a slideshow that shows about that and so on. So I just wanted to make sure you are aware of that. Okay. Lord, thank you. And bless all the givers. There's so much giving that happens through our new hearts. We start thinking of others. We think of our church. We think of mission. Camp Life Europe is happening this week. This week. And, no, it's the next week. Sorry about that. Yes. Bless this, Lord, and each giver. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. I really want the blessing of God in your life. I know it's there, that you are blessed of God in Jesus Christ. But in practice, sometimes that we as believers don't know the ways of God, and we don't know the thoughts of God. And we need to learn them by turning in the Bible. If the Bible could speak to me and teach me, it's a very big statement, but if the Bible could speak to me and teach me how to live, it changes my life. God changes my life. God becomes real in our lives. If there would be anything I want for you and myself, but all believers everywhere, it would be God's blessing in our lives, very practically and very really. But as a pastor, I find sometimes people get hijacked. Like sometimes people just live in the natural life, natural way of thinking, and their life gets hijacked. What's hijacked mean? Hijacking an airplane. Plane is going that way. Somebody in the plane takes over, and it goes that way. It's hijacked. My life is hijacked. It's like, how did that happen? How did I end up here? I was going to the Caribbean, and I end up in Switzerland. Okay, how did that happen? Has it ever happened to you? That somehow, how did I get depressed? How did I get depressed? I was never depressed before. Now, what happened to me? Why am I depressed? I need to go to church and listen to this message, this one, because this will help you. It's for some people. I think it's for all of us all the time, but for some people, they really need an extra dosage of this message that I want to share with you today. Because forgiveness is not always easy. Let me read a story. In 2006, Charles Roberts walked into an Amish schoolhouse armed with three guns. There are 26 students in the schoolhouse. He allowed the 15 boys, a pregnant female student, and three other adult females with infant children to leave safely, but held the remaining 15 girls captive and tied their feet together. His deranged rationale for his actions was that he wanted to exact revenge for something that had happened in his past. By the way, I understood he grew up in a Christian home, but there was something in his past. Notes that he left behind indicate anger toward himself and God for the death of his newborn daughter almost 9 years earlier. Authorities were alerted, soon arrived on the scene. Not long after police arrived, Robert started shooting, killing three children and himself. Two more children later died. So five children died and himself. In the face of such tragedy, one can only imagine the hurt and anger the loved ones of the victims might feel. In an extraordinary demonstration of forgiveness, members of the Amish community, including family members of the deceased victims, attended Robert's funeral, comforted the widow, his widow. The Amish community did not stop there. They offered financial support to Robert's widow. I heard also that the Amish elders walked to the father of Robert, Robert's father, who was just disconsolate, weeping, grieved. And the elders said, "We forgive your son. You are not to blame. We love you." I also remember reading, they tore the schoolhouse down and then they plowed the field and they planted corn, so it's over. They forgave. Yeah. I want to talk about this because it's hard. It's hard. It's not natural. There are things that have happened in your life of a small degree or greater degree that bothers you. And there's something we need to teach about this because maybe you don't understand what it means to forgive and what it means to be spirit-filled and to think a certain way. There are some things that happen to people and they have it in their memory. I was making up a story in my mind of driving on the highway. A drunken driver runs into me or someone and I lose my leg in the accident. And the drunken driver survives and I do too, but I lost my leg. And every time I get up in the morning on my one leg, I have a memory of what happened. And how do I process this? How do I think about it? It's very important that you and I would start, we would think a certain way regarding maybe child abuse. Maybe you were abused as a child or rape. Or if somebody took a lot of money from your family or from you. This is our context for the text of scripture that we chose today. So it's Isaiah 58, and I just wanted to speak to your heart, and I want to help you because I want your life blessed by God, and it happens. But not if I am unforgiving. If I am unforgiving, there's a direction here. There's a few words I'll put up on the screen. We have grudges. grudge, sorry for my writing, grudge, bitterness, accusation, unforgiveness. A lot of this happens to people. There's reason, because we look for justice. We hear a lot about that word in our society today, justice. We're looking for justice. Oh, really? Are you looking for justice? Really? I also, but there's another part to life. And it's not justice. What is it? What is it? What's the other part of life that actually the result of this other part in life is the reason you are here today? God did not give justice to you. He gave justice to his son, and the wrath of God came on him, and he was judged. He was found guilty. He was crucified, and he was judged. That's justice. But what did God do to you and me? What? Grace. She that has been forgiven, let's put the word here, forgiven is not justice in the sense that you should pay for your sin. You should pay for your sin. But justice in the mind of God, he did something incredible. I will pay for your sin. God says, I will pay for your sin so you can go free. It's very much illustrated by Barabbas, the criminal, going free and Christ crucified. The criminal went free, and so did you. Because you are guilty of sin. And the woman that was forgiven many, for many. She has sinned much. A lot of sin. A lot of sin. And she goes free. Therefore, she loves much. Let's say, love is what's missing in a lot of families. In family life, we are like kind and polite and maybe fun-loving and so on. But something will happen in your family and you will look for justice. Your brother will steal some money from you. Your sister will slander you and speak evil behind your back. Your mother or father will mistreat you or have already done it. Families are filled with problems. And you know what a family needs? They need to find something else. And you know what you and I need? We need to find something else. Not this justice that the world is so hot on. They're so hot on it. And we believe in it, but life has got to be filled with forgiveness. It's got to be filled with grace. It's got to be filled with something else. It's got to be filled with God. We have to find God. We have to find God. Do you understand that? I think you do. Let's read the text. Isaiah 58 is talking about another kind of fast. Now, let's write the word here, fast. What does it usually mean? A fast. It's about not eating food. Not eating food for a day or two or three or more. A fast, not eating food. It's self-inflicted. It's the denial of yourself. Yeah, religious people do it, and we do it also, but religious people can do it for their notoriety, for their discipline. They can do it also. It can turn inward, that there's some kind of self-pity connected with it. There can be something not exactly right with the fasting of food. On the other hand, The Apostle Paul fasted often. Jesus fasted for 40 days. We know that there is something about the right kind of fast with regarding to food, and that's an important thing to know. But the Lord is saying, too, there's another kind of fast. It's chapter 58 and verse 6. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Verse 5. And I don't, because of time, you can have your Sunday afternoon Bible reading here from verse 5 down through to verse 14. And take some time and like chew on this. But I don't want to go into this with much detail, this part of it. But I want you to see there's another kind of fast. So this is verse 5. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? Is verse 6 and verse 7. And we want to say there's a fast in a few words where you turn from being inward to others. There's another kind of fast where you are caring for others. You are caring for the oppressed people. It's mentioned there. The people afflicted, people with heavy burdens. It's caring for the homeless or caring for the hungry, caring for the oppressed in the world. We are caring for others, people in our community. We are caring for some children at a school or a lonely man, a lonely child maybe that doesn't have a friend, for a teenager to say, I will be his friend. Ed, just help me because I got to keep my concentration. So I turn from myself to others. Now notice verse 8. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So we have a spiritual blessing happening. Why? Verse 9. Then shalt thou call, the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. God will say, here I am, and you will know that. Okay? I cry to God, and God answers, here I am. Okay? If, verse 9, if, let's look up here. So there's, you see the part, if you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, okay? What will, if I, and there's a list here, and you can go through these lists in this chapter. I did it today and enjoyed it. I found a lot of them. They're like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think this one has 4. If, verse 10, if you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, I'll put here yoke. Get rid of the yoke. What is a yoke? It's a wooden device, you know, from years ago with animals, where they would connect two animals together by this piece of wood, and it would fit on the animal's collar on his neck, and they would pull a load. The yoke that human beings have, there are many different kinds where we are yoked with something bad. I am yoked with revenge. I am yoked with depression. I am yoked with unforgiveness. I am yoked with a burden, maybe something I can't break the yoke, it seems like. I can't get away from it. There are people addicted and yoked to medications and drugs and sex and many, many things that are hurting them. But they welcome the yoke. They have it as a habit in life, and they welcome it, and they don't have any fight against it. They don't fight against it. They do. They just believe it. They go, this is the way my life is. This is how I'm going to live. And God is saying, then you won't have the blessing. You have it as a born-again believer, but the teaching here is that there are some things that I need to get a hold of in my heart and mind so that my life is, God, I could say, God. And God will say immediately, here I am. Here I am. Where I'm in obscurity. There's a verse, the verse we'll read. I'm in obscurity. I'm in a wilderness or a dark hole. I'm in a blackness, a darkness. I'm in trouble. I'm in obscurity. And light rises out of obscurity for me because I stop doing these things. I get understanding about it. Look at verse 9. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, then number 2, the putting forth of the finger. I'll put it here. Forth the finger. Let me explain that. It means this. There are people that are living like this all the time. Like, look up here. Look at, you know, he's the problem. It's that, those people. Yes, she should have never done that. My father. My problem is my father. It's always putting forth the finger, always accusing. Where is my blessing? I don't have it. Because I've developed a mentality where it's always other people that are the problem. It's other people are the problem. And God is saying, you have no idea what you need. You have no idea what I have for you. But you are so filled with yourself. You are so occupied with yourself. And you actually want blessing. You want a lot of things. You desire them, but you can't stop doing this. All right, do you see it? Holding a grudge. My brother, I'll never forgive him for what he did to me. I'll never forgive him. I'm holding a grudge. Where's God in that? Matthew 18. I have forgiven you of $10 million debt, and you can't forgive your brother for $20? That's the actual, in the Amplified, those are the numbers. You are forgiven of a $10 million debt, and you turn around and you go, thank you very much, I'm forgiven. And you turn around and your brother owes you $20 and you can't forgive him. You pay me the $20. You pay me the $20. That mentality, the Lord says, you're going to go to prison and you're not going to come out of the prison until you pay for all your sin, which will never be paid for. Because you have no idea how wrong you are. You are not trained right. I think part of it is our training. We learn in our society to blame others and accuse and say, I've been abused, I've been a victim, I've been raped, I've been hurt, I've been stolen from, I've been hurt in so many ways. And now, let's say, I don't doubt the pain. I don't doubt what you're saying. I'm not sympathetic with any criminal. I'm not saying anything good about any of that. I agree with you. I am very sorry for it. I understand it. I haven't personally been a victim that way to a victim of injustice, that in some of those ways that I'm mentioning, but I have been. And by the way, you can make a mountain out of a molehill. You're going to say, he hurt me, you know, and you then sit down with a counselor and you explain it to him for like 30 minutes. And then the counselor says, is that all? And the person says, yeah, don't you understand? Like, I've been really hurt. And the counselor says, okay, tell it to me again. Let's go over it again. 30 minutes later, the counselor says, is that all? Is that all? You know, come on. We are babied and coddled to become victims of our misfortune and injustice. And we are cheating ourselves of God. Because God is saying, I forgave you, and I am God, and I want to bless you. I will bless you. And these Amish people up in Pennsylvania, I think, in as far as what I, the way I understand it, they got it right. They got it right. It's over. It's done. We'll see our children in heaven. I am sorry about it. And the poor people and the family that are brokenhearted about the killer having done an outrageous crime, they need our help. They need to know what forgiveness and grace is. Same thing with the black church down in South Carolina, wasn't it? Of 9 or 10 elderly, precious people meeting for a Bible study, and some guy came in and killed them all. Didn't he kill them all? And then they forgave him. Wow, that's shocking. And President Obama went and spoke there, I think. That's shocking forgiveness. That's amazing. Okay, let's go to the next part. It says, in speaking vanity. Do you think sometimes he's saying, if you stop doing these things, you stop talking. You stop your talking. You forgive. You learn what that is. And you stop talking vanity, repeating it, talking about it, and crying about everything. I wanted to do a message about excuses. There's a song Pastor Sturge sang yesterday in the car. Excuses. He's a full old from a quartet. And also I want to speak about teenagers making excuses. Teenagers growing up and facing the giant. A teenager growing up, they got to go in for an interview. They don't want to do the interview. They want to make an excuse. They don't want to face it. They want to make an excuse. And then they are young men, and they're making excuses, and they get away with it. They're making excuses in life. And, I mean, we all are like this. Luke 14, it happens. But when you start speaking, not vanity, you face it, and you look at truth. You face the truth. And we humble ourselves before the truth. God will say, we'll say, God. And God will say, here I am. And we'll say, thank you. If you are here, I can do it. I can go to my interview. If you are here, I can finish school. If my dad would say to me, when I joined something, goes, you're not quitting. I don't care if you like it or not. You're not quitting that thing. You got to finish it. So I was on the football team, and there were times when those words would come back to me. You're not quitting. You got to face it. Got to face reality. Got to grow up. You got to be a man. You got to do your duty. Got to do it whether you like it or not. What do you think about this? You know, God is saying some things to the Jewish people in this chapter. And he's saying, you know, I need you, but I want you to know me. But I can't let you live in your excuses. I got to release you into what who I am. I want you to be like me. And I am a gracious God, a merciful God, a forgiving God. I forgive people. But I'm afraid that you and I, we hold grudges. And sometimes we look for revenge. And sometimes we talk about it to our friends. And we gossip. And we talk about stuff we should not be talking about. It's none of their business. And learn to say that to people, brothers and sisters in the faith. You know, saying, I appreciate that you're talking to me, but I think what you're talking right now is none of my business. Thank you very much. I don't have an ear for that. I don't want to hear it. I don't care about it. It's speaking vanity. Now, the fourth one, verse 10. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry, I'll put here, feed the hungry. But I want to elaborate on hungry because it says, satisfy the afflicted soul. Afflicted soul. And I think a soul can be afflicted by not only the absence of food, but the absence of love, the absence of friendship. An afflicted soul, you know, the homeless folks that we see on our streets here in America, yes, some of it is mental sickness, but not all of it. Some of it is the afflicted soul, and they need counsel. We've had them come into our church, and I find a new life in Christ. It's a great testimony. If you care about others, if we care about others, the afflicted soul, the depressed, the lonely, the people that don't have much, if we are caring, then what will happen? Look at verse 10. Then shall your light rise in obscurity. Out of nowhere, you could say. It came out of nowhere. Where did it come from? Out of nowhere. What happened? Light came. Just out of nowhere. Thank you, God. You visited me. You comforted me. You taught me something. Not to live like the world. Talk like the world. Be yoked with the world. Put forth a finger like the world. The world is doing this all the time. It's like I've learned, and I think you too understand this, when I wanted to judge somebody and the Lord could say to my heart, okay, judge them. What judgment are you going to give them? And you could say, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. I'm going to have a dartboard in my bedroom and just throw darts. How are you going to judge that person? I'm not talking to them anymore. They're out of my mind. And they suddenly, because you can't forgive them, they're suddenly everywhere in your life. They don't go away. They're everywhere. Just like the frogs in Egypt. They were everywhere. They were in the bedchamber, in the bathroom. Frogs were everywhere. If you and I don't learn this, then your life will become very small. And you'll be talking about the same thing 10 years later, 20 years later, even on your deathbed. You'll be talking about the same thing. The same thing. I preached in this in Hungary one time, and a woman, Hungarian woman, came to me afterwards. And I used an illustration of a house. There was a husband and wife. They got in an argument. The husband cut the house in half with a chainsaw, and then he moved the house away. I mean, it was like a credible story of revenge and hatred and looking for justice. And so I preached that message. The woman came up afterwards and said, I want to tell you a story about my family. And she was older than I. She said, my mother and father that destroyed our family over a pickle jar. Now, pickle jars, you know, these are like precious, like antiques, okay? They're like clay jars that maybe this big, and they put pickles in them with vinegar and stuff. So it's a real thing. And it was valuable in the family. But the father broke it by accident, and she could not forgive him. And it became this thing that just ruined the family. So that's you and me. That's you and me. What could ruin your family, your friendship, your church? What could happen that could ruin our lives? These four things that we put up on the board. Just stop doing it. Let's go over it. We'll finish. The yoke of revenge. By the way, I want to say something. Revenge is sweet to some people, and it can be to you. I want revenge. I want justice. I want judgment. I want him destroyed. I want to take him out. After he's dead, I want him to be, and on it goes. It's like totally, that's a world that people live in, not you. You can't do that. You've got to rejoice in mercy, not revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's his business. He will repay, not you. You don't pay. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to judge people. You can't judge people. You don't know how to do it. You have to give them mercy. You have to forgive them and forgive them and forgive them. That's the nature of God. God wants you and I to live like that in this world and to forgive. That's a short version. There's a lot more to say about it. Number two, stop accusing people. Stop blaming your wife. Stop accusing your husband. Stop blaming your friend. Stop blaming the church. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming, just stop it. Stop blaming the United States of America. Stop blaming your neighbor. You know what your neighbor needs? Not your judgment. Your neighbor needs grace. Your neighbor needs love. Your neighbor needs encouragement. Your neighbor needs us to care for the afflicted soul and to say to in a prison, there was a man in prison in Maine. One of my friends was the pastor in that penitentiary, and the man had life sentence for killing his father. He was a big man, and he was with a rifle. He planned it all out, and he murdered his father. He went to jail. The pastor went there, and he told the man, God loves you, and so on. The guy was cold, stone hard, and the pastor would just keep telling him, God loves you. God forgives you. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. The man is a big man and just hard, just a tough guy. And then the pastor just hugged him. And he could feel that the guy totally melted. The guy just started crying. Like it touched him. Like, do you think the afflicted soul needs our hardness? Or does the afflicted soul need God? And isn't God the one that forgives? And can't we forgive if we have been forgiven? And isn't that how our light comes out of obscurity? Like, I can't believe it, but God is with me. I praise you, God. How did that happen? Maybe because I practiced this. I've stopped putting forth my finger and accusing people and walking around like a policeman. And judging, making sure the church is like right. This church needs to be right. It's like, hey, it's not your church, and you're not in charge, and we don't need the Pharisee in the house. We need the woman weeping and worshiping Jesus Christ and saying, I can't believe it that I've been forgiven of my sin. And that's how we all feel. And then we end up treating each other in another way. It's not about me and my pride. It's about Christ and his nature and the living God. And the living God is the one that changes us. Isn't that true? Stop talking vanity, foolishness, and out of your own arrogance and wound, and then just start taking care of other people and loving them. And what will happen? Light will rise out of obscurity. You go to bed at night saying, man, revenge is nothing. I could care about revenge. I got forgiveness in my heart. And I pray not only that person is forgiven, but that nobody will find out about it. And not only that, I don't mean criminal hiding crime. I'm not talking about hiding crime, even though that can apply. I don't understand it. You got to get it from God how to handle a crime. I think crime should be reported, and crimes are a real thing in life for the helping people in our society. But I'm also saying that there's something incredible about this. God is right. God is gracious to the guilty every day. God is something beyond us. God will take care of people. God will deal with vengeance is mine. We have civil laws. I know this is hard to explain the whole picture. I understand that. That's why I'm kind of saying, too, that if you want to get that book, Total Forgiveness, I recommend it because it covers the subject like very extensively in a good way. But my message this morning is simply to say, I like to go to bed with a lot of mercy and grace in my heart because he gave it to me. And I like to minister that to my family. And I don't want my family to be ripped up by my judgmental spirit and attitude of arrogance. I want to say, please forgive me. D.L. Moody was known for his anger, by the way. He was a great evangelist. There was one thing, he had a big building in a stairwell. There's thousands of people coming in. One man was coming up the stairs. They got into a little, D.L. Moody, the preacher, they got in a little confrontation, and Moody pushed him down the stairs. And a lot of people saw it. And when Moody went to the pulpit, he asked for forgiveness. He said, I have a problem with my anger, and I say to my children at night, please forgive me. And he said to the whole congregation before he preached, please forgive me for what I did, you know, some minutes ago in the back there. What does that mean? That means a lot to me. That means that, you know, like we're not pretending. That means that we all need forgiveness. And when we ask for it, we should get it. Not one of these, you know, I forgive you, but never do that again. It's like, what is it, a condition? I got to live before you like by law. I have to be approved by you. God didn't say that to us. He didn't say, I forgive you, but never do it again. He said to the woman taken in adultery for her own sake, you are forgiven. And what did he say? Forget John. And what? And yeah. And okay, so I can't hear you. And do it no more. Yeah, do it no more. Like, that's counsel. That's good advice. But her forgiveness wasn't based on her not doing it anymore. Like, as kids, you know, that's how we would talk. No, you could do it 70 times a day, and I am supposed to forgive you, Luke 17. I'm trying to say today, and provoke you to think with me, we might know so little about the subject, and we just need to learn what it is. And I also am saying, get ready. Get ready. Something's coming in life, and it's going to need our forgiveness, total forgiveness. get ready. Something can happen. And we just need to know God and learn what that means and speak in a different way to each other and love each other and not know each other based on our sin. One of the things about my sins that I'm so thankful for is that God is not broadcasting them. Thank you, Lord. Lord, are you ever going to tell all of them about my sins? No, I can't remember them. They are gone. You're not going to tell them about my sins? You're not going to tell all the world about my sins? God said, no, I'm not going to. I cover them. I hide them behind my back. I'm not broadcasting your sin. What else, Lord? I'm going to bless you with my grace. Grace? I don't deserve. Yes, grace. I'm going to shower you with my grace. I'm going to bless you with who I am. I am God, and I want you to know me. And then I want you to minister, not go inward, but I want you to learn to go outward and love others. Stop pointing your finger and love them. Stop pointing your finger and lay down your life and forgive them and love them. Then light will rise out of obscurity and you'll say, woohoo, Lord. Okay, amen. This is an invitation just to anyone and everyone listening, but there may be some who've never started their spiritual journey by faith. It's faith in Christ, just by faith. It's like stepping off an edge of a cliff. It doesn't, I'm afraid almost, like somehow, but God says, I will be with you. I will catch you. I will hold you. Trust me. It's by faith. Human reason brings me so far, then I must decide by faith to believe in you, Jesus. Please, anyone listening, do that today. God knows your heart. Mark the date down. This is the day for your spiritual birthday. Walk by faith. Talk to God. God is for you. God loves you. You don't know much, but you know enough that God made this universe and he gave his son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. That means go to hell, be lost. Be in my little world of unforgiveness, in my own self-life, forever, or have everlasting life and God's nature. In Jesus' name, amen.